Microphone test. Good morning. 1, 2. We are about to start. If everybody can take their seats. Buen día a todo. Estamos en.
Good morning to everyone. We are in Buenos Aires, and we would like to greet you with some words in Spanish to welcome you to our session during this morning about the challenges, the internet security and stability challenges in Latin America and the Caribbean region. I am from the Caribbean region where many other languages are spoken. Therefore, now I will speak in English.
Thank you for coming to this session this morning on internet security and stability challenges in Latin America and the Caribbean. This is an important session because it's a collaboration between LACNIC, LACTLD, ISOC, and ICANN. We are working together to discuss some important issues, events, activities with regard to security and stability in the Caribbean. And we have a very distinguished panel of presenters. We are still missing one presenter, but we will get started. The presentations will be fairly short because we are hoping to have a sort of interactive session. And our moderator will be one of the newest members of ESAC, Mr. Carlos Martinez. And it is now my pleasure to hand over to Carlos, who will introduce the panel.
Good morning, Carlos Martinez speaking. Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure for me to be here with this panel in this session. I hope that all of us can have a very productive discussion regarding the security and stability activities we are carrying out in the region. Now we will start with our agenda. I will introduce our first panelist, someone who is a friend of mine, Gonzalo Romero. Gonzalo is a chief security officer of .com Internet, the registry operator for .com. Gonzalo actively participates in Latin America and the Caribbean activities and communities related with information technologies and cybersecurity issues. Gonzalo, you have the floor. Go ahead, please. Gonzalo Romero speaking. Thank you very much, Carlos. Good morning, everyone. I will deliver my presentation in Spanish because I am in my region. We have been working in a project, a very interesting project, for capacity building in DNS in aspects related to security, resiliency, and stability, as Albert was saying before. We are trying to match the efforts among the different organizations that are part of these efforts and that are part of this initiative, such as LACTLD, LACNIC, the Internet Society, and, of course, ICANN. Now I will tell you about the project. This is the project umbrella, the strategic plan for Latin America and the Caribbean of ICANN for the following years between 2013 and 2016, this project has to do or covers the key area interest number two, which has to do with capacity building and outreach. And the core objectives are to promote the technical capacity building on SSR issues and particularly speaking on matters related to the DNS. And the idea is to allocate resources to ensure these issues specifically for CCTLDs and to allow resiliency, stability, and security in these infrastructures, which are considered to be critical within the internet processes. Just a quick overview regarding the description of this project. This is a joint effort between the organizations, the different regional organizations, to provide training cycles, sustainable training cycles, which should be well defined in terms of capacity building regarding the SSR. When it comes to the scope and deliverables, the idea is to deliver technical training components and educational components at a technical level related to the DNS and the stability, resiliency, and security at different levels and according to the different audiences. The targeted groups, well, they are the CCTLDs, the ISPs, as well as any other entity or provider related to DNS services. The project started in August 2013. We have defined some indicators, for example, the number of professionals, trained or certified professionals in the, security, stability, and resiliency per year. We also define the amount of events organized on a yearly basis and during the whole process project. We have identified some resources that are required, for example, human and economic resources, for example, budget, sponsorship, experts, fellowships, meeting rooms for this type of events, lab platforms that are very important to develop. And the support by ICANN in terms of mailing list or Adobe Connect services, etc. And of course, we have identified the relationship of this project to other projects because we have five projects that are part of these great initiatives. One of them is the group of the regional emergency response teams for Latin America and the Caribbean region, and some other projects that are related to capacity building in the region. Which are the main activities and activities? Well, we are not reinventing the wheel. We are working on what already exists. Each of the entities are working on this, and they offer workshops and events where we can deal with technical, commercial, regulatory issues in relation to the TLDs or DNS issues. Other activities is to activities are to identify and map countries or regional agencies related or involved in the DNS, as particularly speaking, in terms of resiliency, security, and stability, and related with the Latin American region, especially at the national or country level and local level. We are now undergoing this stage number two, and this is the identification and categorization of current activities and events aligned or related with the project. The following stage is to generate some commitment or contact with the entities so as to be able to quantify or measure this project. Likewise, the other activity that we are carrying out is to measure and identify gaps or needs, specific needs in the region, to increase the awareness and the tools to be used for this type of issues. Likewise, we have identified certain activities and tasks to be developed. We have to develop complementary material or activities to enhance these training cycles. Of course, everything is focused to what is still missing or to what it is required by certain entities in this subject. And finally, to empower training cycles, basic as well as advanced cycles, for all the DNS-related stakeholders. We have identified training programs such as the SROC program. We also have the managerial level attack and crisis response planning. We have the train the trainers processes so as to sustain and maintain the process. And this is a kind of matrix. We are now developing. On the first column, we can see the activities that are now being identified. The second column has to do with how we can contribute to these activities, the budget, the outcome, and the audience. So this is the first classification that was done. And this is the summary of project number three. Thank you very much. Carlos Martinez speaking. Thank you very much, Gonzalo. Then we will have some time for questions. But if you have any question right now, okay, we have some spare minutes, or else we can do it at the end of the session. Okay. Now, the following speaker, according to the agenda, it will be me. So it is quite strange to introduce myself. My name is Carlos Martinez. I come from LACNIC. And although I'm changing my role in LACNIC, my participation here is under the hat, wearing the hat of the security and stability manager for LACNIC. You all know LACNIC. This is the Latin American registry, address registry, and our main mission is the management and conservation of some internet number resources. LACNIC is a non-profit organization based on members. And in the region, we have almost or about 3,000 members. LACNIC has celebrated its 10th anniversary not long ago. At the end of 2012, we carried out a strategic planning review, and we held some workshops where we could discuss and debate different issues. And the stability and security issues of the network arise in all of these topics or workshops. And we included that in our mission and vision, because we consider that one of our main key or our main working areas. The security and stability go together for us. From our standpoint, it is not convenient to separate stability and security. We need to prevent incident or harmful attacks. We cannot separate that from the stability of the network or the resilient network, because the net is able to recover quickly. So we must include the resiliency in this concept. LACNIC, in the recent past, has been working with different projects related to the stability and resiliency, perhaps not so well connected. Perhaps you may know some of these concepts. For example, Amparo is a project that was carried out, funded by the International Cooperation Agency from Canada, and the creation of materials for training courses to develop emergency centers was developed, and then all that material was translated into Spanish and Portuguese. Then we have the Mas Raíces program. We are working in the deployment of road servers in the region. That project started in 2008, if I'm not wrong, after an agreement with the SSA, and then copies of the servers were deployed in our region, and 6 or 7were deployed. And now we are working together with ICANN to deploy the L server, and we have 6 deployments up to now. And they founded their own servers, and we only put them in contact. So we have 6 servers founded by LACNIC and 9 that were funded by these Más Raíces efforts. Then we have training events. We're always carrying out training events in terms of security and stability. LACNIC is now carrying out 2 major events on a yearly basis, one in May, which is the LACNIC event, and there is in October another event shared with LACNOC. And we also provide tutorial activities, and we try to include in all of them 3 activities, 3 training activities related to security and stability. This is the incident response training and the security routine security training. We understand this is something important to take into account, because sometimes we think only about the DNS security, but there are some other aspects that should be taken into account. The other part of the internet infrastructure has to do with the packages and the correct delivery of those packages. In terms of this, we have been working for 3 years in the development and promotion of RPKI. This is technological infrastructure, and the ITF has been working so as to create a database with certain interesting parallelisms with the DNS, but this is to allow and to provide security to the routing system in internet. We have deployed DNSSEC in the reverse space. LACNIC, associated to its role, you know, LACNIC has a role to operate the reverse DNS directory for the IP space in the LAC region. When I speak about reverse space, I am talking about APA, when we perform the IP queries, and not by names, to the DNS space. We have DNS implemented. The reverse zones are signed. And we are now able to accept the registry applications for some of our members. So if there is someone here interested, well, just let me know. Something that we believe it's a key point in terms of the network stability is the promotion of new IXPs. And we have been working together with ISOC. We have delivered workshops. Christian and Sophia, they are from the LACNIC staff, and they have been traveling around the continent to deal with these issues. Other activity we are carrying out is this. During the LACNIC events, we try to invent the CSERTs, or the incident or the emergency teams, to meet without any agenda, so that they can gather together and discuss. This is something trivial, or this might seem trivial, but then when they meet, that is not so simple, because the community sometimes is jealous, and it has certain ideas when they need to debate, or when they sit down to debate. So we are now paving the way. And these meetings are not more fluent than at the very beginning. This is then we have the LACSEC. This is a security event that we carried out during the LACNIC event in May. This is devoted to security, and this is the way in which I started to get engaged with LACNIC. I started in LACNIC by being a moderator, a facilitator. What are we doing right now? We are trying to provide a holistic approach, a coordinated approach to all these initiatives. These are initiatives that we are carrying out right now, and the idea is to incorporate new activities. We have four pillars. We have capacity building, we have the internet infrastructure strengthening, outreach, this is cooperation and dissemination, and we have one person devoted to the cooperation for public policies and for the development of public policies with the law enforcement agencies and governmental agencies. Here you will see there are certain concepts that are very repeated. Well, as I said before, the idea is to offer training. We have hired a person to offer online training, supplementing the existing training. We will keep on working on secure routing training. We have also noticed and we have also identified through our experience that our region is very different. There are some places where we go and the technical people are very good, they're very well skilled, and you can start talking with them about DNSSEC or about KPI. But there are some other places where people do not know about basic concepts. So sometimes we need to deliver a basic training, DNS, a basic DNS training. And we have started to supplement the RPKI KI training with some other concepts. Because otherwise, it turns out to be complicated because not everyone knows everything about this. A very interesting aspect that I think we are not debating so much is the IPv6 concerns and the IPv4 exhaustion. Those who are not deploying IPv6 should be aware that the IPv4 exhaustion has some security issues implied. In the past event of Lightning in Curaçao, I made my presentation about these issues. Those operating a web page or internet service should take into account their initial ports and the IPs because the IP will not longer be an identifier or enough identifier to identify things.
Strengthening of the infrastructure. The idea is to strengthen the deployment of root server copies. We'll continue to work with ICANN LL. It's been very effective to have this partnership with ICANN. We've been able to deploy servers very rapidly. The servers that ICANN uses are easy to buy in the region, therefore, it's something that we were not aware of before. But looking back, it's a very important asset. And it's also the idea to incorporate Ali. Patrick was going to be here, but we're going to include Ali. And we would like to include some others. We still don't know which ones. I expect to get together with some other people to discuss which other letters we can incorporate. DNSSEC, although implementation is already almost completed, the reverse DNS resolution, we need to search what scopes for collaboration we will have to help other regions sign their zones, etc. Among the functions of LACNIC, we have an important aspect that we need to take care of, which is the registry database, what you know as the WHOIS service for IP addresses. One key aspect of this, the item relating to security, is that the WHOIS database is the first step of incident response to try to contact the source of an attack. For that, it is essential to have this database updated. Keeping this database up to date, to have the valid contacts and emails and telephones, that's an important effort we are trying to systematize in order to maintain the value of that database. We, in terms of cooperation, I already mentioned the agreement we have with ICANN for the LL copies. We're working on standardization, especially in the IETF relating to RPKI. We are trying to have a greater presence in security conferences specifically, because one of the things we've detected is that many times we go to conferences where we are more or less the same people, and it's something that we owe to ourselves to try to get out of our comfort zone. In fact, I attended the first conference, the International Forum of Incident Response, and I was the only person from Arir. After many days, I found one person from IEP, Nick, but we didn't know each other. We were just lonely, and it was quite an interesting experience. Going to an area where you have to explain where you're from, what is it that you do, what is LACNIC, what are the IPs, etc. We have an agreement for cooperation with the OAS, which was signed in Medellin event in Colombia, under which we've already conducted a series of interesting activities, such as we've participated in a DNSSEC workshop for law enforcement organizations in Costa Rica a couple of months ago, and at a public policy development activity in Montevideo last week. Well, thank you very much. This was the presentation on the security initiatives by LACNIC. I think we have the panelist we were missing. Okay. As I was telling you, we'll have some space for questions at the end. But again, if you would like to ask a question now, you're more than welcome. I would now like to introduce our third panelist, Christian O'Flaherty from the Internet Society. Christian, you've made it hard for me, sending me the introductions by email in English. Christian is a regional development manager for the Internet Society for Latin America and the Caribbean. His job is to promote Internet access, growth and sustainability of Internet access in the regions, in areas such as in capacity building, key infrastructures, barriers to policies, and quantity of traffic. Christian, another friend of mine, go ahead. Christian O'Flaherty is speaking. Thank you, Carlos. I'm going to give my presentation in Spanish, even though the slides are in English. I see that the majority understands Spanish, so it's easiest for everybody. Can we go to the first slide, please? I don't know if you know the Internet Society. It's an organization which dates over 20 years. It turned 20 last year. It's an organization, the objective of which is to maintain this Internet model open. The motto of ISOC is Internet is for everybody. But this Internet model, this ecosystem, as we call it, is based over some pillars which have an impact on security issues. And during my presentation, I'll try to describe the relationship between this Internet model that we have and the impact on security. Then I'll try to see how, leveraging this model, we can tackle those issues from a global perspective, and then try to see how this impacts our countries and our businesses. Those pillars that I described, which are very important to preserve, which in a way are the ones that made in the Internet so successful, so scalable. One of them is global connectivity. Every time you include one new device on the Internet, it is visible by absolutely everybody, all the other internet devices. This end-to-end connection or this global connectivity, which is a characteristic of the internet, is a fundamental pillar to the internet, which we need to preserve. Another important characteristic is that all new services, all new protocols, discoveries, applications that are developed on the internet are done by entrepreneurs which do not need to request authorization from agencies or institutions. We tend to say that it is permission-free. Anybody can include things, services, new applications on the internet and test them, and some will be successful, others will not. But this makes the internet so dynamic and so changing in time. Another important characteristic is this openness. It's very accessible. Anybody can contribute to the network. Anybody can be part of the organizations which are relevant on the internet. This openness is one of the most important pillars for scalability. This is what has made it grow as much as it has grown. It's important to maintain this so it can continue to grow. And finally, collaboration. Although the internet is a network where many suppliers compete, it's fundamental to have collaboration among all parties, not only businesses, but all the organizations and all stakeholders, as we call them. All persons, institutions, or governments, and businesses which are involved in the internet service. Now, all these important pillars that the internet society wishes to preserve have an impact on security aspects. For example, this global connectivity, this possibility of connecting any device, having access to any other device connected to the internet, causes the attacks and the incidents not to have borders. We no longer need to be prepared to our own environment or region or country, but threats come from all over. So this is a very important feature and a very important threat. This other pillar, which relates to the possibility that any new service can be included in the network easily, is also leveraged by the creativity of hackers and those who benefit from this to develop new viruses, malware, and applications that are really harmful from the point of view of security. The fact that it's such an open platform and the fact that it's possible for software to be distributed so easily is also an important vector for attacks. As we've seen, viruses and any malware is very easily distributed on the internet because of this openness feature. And on the other hand, this important pillar, which is the multi-stakeholderism, the possibility that we can all cooperate and that it's so open and voluntary, makes it very difficult to impose things in closed environments. We can demand and impose authority. However, on the internet, it's through cooperation that we have to solve our issues. So what are these characteristics of security? And how should we tackle them, considering this model that we are defending? To begin with, we must accept that it's an ongoing task. Absolute security does not exist, so it's a task that we must always be wary of and we must always work on. It's not a defect of the internet. It's a characteristic that we must always take into consideration every time we make decisions. Then, we are all responsible for security. It's a collective responsibility. This is important for suppliers. Suppliers and every network on the internet we log on to are responsible for internal security. We must protect ourselves from what can come internally, and we also have to be responsible for the use that our users make within our network and the attacks that they may be generating outwards. So we must be good internet citizens and be vigilant in both senses. This cooperative participation requires more collaboration in these respects to tackle problems together, to agree on diagnosis before acting, and to create plans that are supported by all organizations. So, in order to tackle these issues by preserving this model, which we believe is essential, we need to find a good balance. A good balance between not expecting to have authority, not trying to restrict the geography of the networks, and thinking of more global policies to tackle security issues instead of region or geography-related politics, trying to preserve open standards. One of the organizations that ISOC supports strongly is the IETF, Internet Engineering Task Force, which develops open standards, which are fundamental for the growth in the network. We'll now see how with these features, which we wish to preserve, but which have an impact on security, we can create some global activities to later implement them in the region and in the countries. ISOC has some initiatives related to security. I'm going to mention just the most important ones. I encourage you to go to the ISOC webpage, where you will find further detail of each. First of all, trust and identity, more from the point of view of the user. What things affect users from the point of view of security and their privacy, and which authentication methods are being developed? What is identity within the internet? The concept of a credential identifying us uniquely, such as an ID number or a passport, no longer exists in the internet. We have an identity that is built by different characteristics which we have as internet users. When we use the internet, we have a profile, a series of attributes that define us in different environments. And you may have more than one identity depending on that set of attributes. There's a series of tools to preserve that identity to to prevent abuses from those identifiers that reference us when we use the internet. The idea is to try to have that identity managed by attributes as restricted as possible so that it only serves the purpose of the service we are using from the internet. Instead of having an absolute description of each and all of us as individuals in everything that we do on the internet, this is going to enable us to have a certain level of privacy, at least privacy restricted to the service that we are using. There are also programs in terms of technical aspects, always describing programs in global terms. ISOC Internet Society with programs that affect the internet as a whole. First, in terms of the promotion of IPv6, which, as Carlos was saying, has an impact on insecurity, which we need to be aware of. DNSSEC is now a reality. We can say that it is being used more seriously. DNSSEC has been active for many years. It's a secure way to solve internet names. So far, every time we enter the name and the application received an IP address, it's been using a mechanism that could have some issues. It could be interfered, and we could obtain results different than what we were seeking. With DNSSEC, that resolution process may become more reliable. You may obtain responses from the DNS service, the resolution service that we can trust. And besides those responses, we may have additional information which may make the use of the internet more secure. As I was saying, it's been going on for many years. It's mature, technically speaking. However, in the operation, we are a bit behind as a community. Currently, we may say that there's a more serious use of DNSSEC. We have 135 root domains, TLDs, that have been signed. The new TLDs that are being launched will be signed also. And there's going to be a DNSSEC workshop tomorrow, Wednesday at 9:45 a.m. You are invited to attend if you wish to know further about DNSSEC. The next item is related to the stability of the routing table. The stability of the routing table is related to RPKI, as Carlos mentioned. RPKI is this mechanism to make a more reliable use of some resources, in particular the blocks of IP addresses when transferring them to the global routing table. The objective of this program is to use this and other tools so that the information in the routing table becomes more robust, more reliable, more secure. So these efforts have the objective that the service providers, which are using BGP, which is the protocol we are using to enter information in the routing table to include networks in the internet, follow some policies that have good practices and recommendations so that the internet can be more robust in the routing infrastructure. You can find more information about this project of secure or reliable routing in the ISOC webpage. In a higher level, but in relation to this, I can tell you that about the promotion of best current operational practices in the operation. There are many standards and many ways to implement these standards. When we configure a unit on the internet, there are multiple configuration options to obtain very similar results. This leads to a bit of a messy use of these standards and these units and the deployment of these services. The objective is to create recommendations so that this deployment that we make of these configurations in the units on the internet has a better quality, a better security, better reliability. This is why we are discussing among operators which are those better ways to do things, those better practices. The discussion groups normally are network operator groups, the NOGs, the persons who are with among the operators who are part of these discussions, because they are the ones who will have to deploy this on their networks, or the regional registries, which hold meetings where members who are also operators discuss policy and operation topics. This is another area where they can deal with those topics. These recommendations will be recorded in recommendations for the community to follow those better practices in the configuration of their networks.
There are some other initiatives. However, I would like to show you how to implement and how to take to companies and countries these initiatives, these global initiatives. There are certain mechanisms, as I said before. We have the NOGs, the Network Operators Groups, or the NANOG, or the North American Network Operator Groups. We have LACNOG, and many other regions have their own groups where operators discuss and debate operational issues. Within those operator groups, there are specific groups for specific issues. In our case, in our region, there is a group devoted to these best practices, where operators debate about best practices to deploy services. We would like to have local operators groups. For example, in those countries where there is a critical mass operators group, well, we have to promote those activities so as to agree on best practices, to debate on operational issues, to debate on connection issues, and to solve certain other problems related to operations or security. It is very important that operators gather together and debate to solve the problems arising in the region. And there are some other vital mechanisms that are important to carry out this policy. And this is collaboration with other organizations. As I said, Carlos said before, LACNIC has been implementing many other projects to carry out the initiatives. The same applies for LACTLD, LACIX, which is the Internet Exchange Points Association. Then they offer training courses. Each of these groups take these initiatives or embrace these initiatives to fulfill the projects. This was at a regional level. Now we need to focus on the local level in each country, how we can put all the initiatives into practice. And in that case, it is important to work with universities on the academia sector. So we are at your disposal if you have if you know about any academic meeting or any if you know any university interested in cooperating or collaborating with these initiatives, we can keep in touch. Then we have promotional national organizations so that we can implement all these initiatives. We also have programs for people interested in the development of standards, for them to participate in the IETF. As Carlos said before, working with the IXPs is important because it is there where we can address the incidents and the security problems that appear. Then we have governments and regulators. They are quite concerned about these issues. And they need a different standpoint. They need a different approach because on the internet, things are not regulated, so there is not enough authority to solve problems. Another mechanism that we have to work at the local level is the ISOC chapters. So I invite you to participate. And this is my last slide. So my request and my message is to try to see how these global initiatives can be taken to the countries, and for that we need your help. Thank you very much. Carlos Romero speaking. Thank you very much, Christian. I was listening to you, and it is very interesting to see the many activities we are carrying out, and this is something very important. Now I will give the floor to Gonzalo. I won't introduce him again. I know that you know him. He will now speak about the security in the ccTLD.co. Gonzalo Romero speaking. This presentation is within the framework of these initiatives because our ccTLD in Colombia
is complying with security, resiliency, and stability. So this is a very quick agenda. I will explain, first of all, our motivation to develop these issues. Then I will speak about some security policies, what we do in terms of knowledge transfer and cooperation actions. We have a process for malicious activities monitoring that was implemented 3 years ago. And then I will let you know about our main challenges in terms of cybersecurity. To give you a context, .co is a private company created 3 years ago to manage the domain name .co to promote it at a global level. We are a company depending on the telecommunications or the IT and services Ministry of Colombia. So we see this from two perspectives. On one hand, we are the managers of the CCTLD at the national level, and we are very committed to the protection of integrity, stability, and reliability or resiliency of the TLD, as well as with the global image of our registrants and all the change, the registry chain. And as an agency managing the CCTLD, for us, security is an added value for our registrants. And somehow we engage in those initiatives, contributing to improving the resiliency and the stability and security of the network. This is a summary of the security policies that we have. First, it is price. We are not a cheap domain name. The domain name has a cost of $30 per year. We are not a $5 domain name. And we believe this is an important component, avoiding the use of malicious or the abusive use of the domain name. Then we have good practices on IT security and business continuity. We work with Newstart. It's our partner. And then we use MAM. I will let you know about this later on. And this works with security and global positioning for our CCTLD. In terms of security, we have agreements with our registrars and with our distribution channel. And each registrar is assessed in terms of purposes and values so that they can offer added value services to the users. We actively participate in all the national, regional, and global efforts. So this is a good opportunity for us. In terms of knowledge transfer and cooperation, we have our community, which is the CoDNS, CoDNS. This is a kind of Facebook page. We have 50 members contributing very openly and actively in terms of DNS security. That community holds an event on security and stability on a yearly basis. And this event takes place thanks to the support of the Internet Society and the support of ICANN and LACNIC as well. They joined us in our effort. So
this is a good opportunity to thank those organizations for their support to strengthen our topics at the national level. We are supporting the certification of our centers or security centers. We have 5 certified centers. And we are about to have our National Incident Center certified by CERT. This will happen at the beginning of December. And the secret for us is the cooperation. We have celebrated agreements with the law enforcement agencies and other ministries and incident centers, the academia, among others. In global terms, or at a global level, we have entered into agreements with different organizations, such as Microsoft. We have security agreements. We also have agreements for minor protection, and we have celebrated agreements with the DNS OARC. We also have agreements for security, stability, and incident resolution. We have signed a resiliency agreement with the World the Economic Forum, and we are monitoring security. This is our process. We have been working on it during 3 years. It is a non-invasive monitoring to the DNS zone of .co. We validate links or vulnerable domain names. Most of them are vulnerable, but there is no bad intention. So what we do is a validation process by means of the certification center. This is Newstart, and we are focusing on those alerts. For example, phishing, farming, hijacking, pornography, spoofing. So we have a filtering process to avoid duplication, and we eliminate false positives, and we filter that information, and we send that information to Newstart for them to notify the registrars and registrants, because we work very closely with them. When we identified certain situations with Twitter, for example, with our domain name t.co, of course, it is easier and better for us to work directly with those registrants. However, the process is quite similar in terms of notification. So if the incident continues for a certain period of time, we suspend the domain name to avoid any problem in the resiliency, security, and stability of the domain name. There are certain cases, special cases, such as Rock Pharma, content piracy, or spam. We scale those issues to the law enforcement agencies. We have celebrated agreements with different agencies, and we work together so as to identify a way to approach the to address the issue and to take action. Any court decision in the case of a domain suspension, of course, we take that into account. Our most important challenge in terms of security is cyber squatting and any infringement or violation to the terms of conditions set forth with the registrants and the registrars as well. We have proactive monitoring of hourly domain name registrations so as to avoid intellectual property issues.
And when we detect or when we identify critical situations in terms of cyber squatting, we send that information from our top-level domain name manager, and we remind them how to manage the security issues in our domain names. Thank you very much. Carlos Martinez speaking. Thank you very much, Gonzalo.
Just in English, because I know his mother tongue. It's a pleasure for me to introduce Patrick Jones from ICANN. Patrick is ICANN's Senior Director of Global Stakeholder Engagement, and he was previously with ICANN Security for 4 years. He's a regular speaker on DNS security, stability, and resiliency issues in the community. Patrick, the floor is yours.
Thank you, everyone. Good morning. So as you note, I have a new role as of the last couple weeks. I've recently joined Rodrigo and the rest of the Global Stakeholder Engagement team. I had previously been with my colleagues John and Dave from the security team, but I'm continuing to work with them as a liaison between the security team and our Global Stakeholder Engagement efforts. So with that, ICANN Security has a long history of collaboration with the Latin America and Caribbean region. We do this through a history of trainings and engagement and awareness activities. All of this builds from the requests that we receive from the region. And so we take in the interests from the community and match this up with ICANN's obligations under the Affirmation of Commitments and also the Security Stability and Review Team recommendations. And then we match this up now on an increasing basis with the new Latin American Caribbean strategy. So we want to make sure that the activities that the security team and ICANN provide match up with the goals and objectives from the Latin American strategy, as well as the goals and objectives of ICANN's partners in the regional TLD organizations, the organizations that are listed here, and as well as the CCTLD community and the growing GTLD community from all of the regions. From a security perspective, we build bridges. We, as in the security team, we connect people and stakeholders across diverse communities in the internet ecosystem. Usually the security team acts as a conduit between either law enforcement or the CCTLD or TLD operators, and you know, providing a contact point between those teams, and either in sharing of information of incidents and threats, or of providing training and awareness of best practices and new experiences that the team can share and connect the registries and law enforcement to have basic DNS awareness, DNSSEC training, also provide information on IPv6 and other capabilities. Our team has worked with the Commonwealth Cybercrime Initiative, the Caribbean Telecommunications Union, OAS SICTE, in a number of events, including this past Friday in Montevideo, and also earlier in the week with the OAS cybersecurity event. In the Washington, D.C. area, we participate in USTTI training, and I know a number of participants from the Latin American and Caribbean region have taken advantage of that opportunity to come to Washington and cover a variety of courses that touch on cybersecurity. We also work to share information and learn from TLD operators, particularly CCTLDs, to understand how you respond to threats. I'm hoping to hear more about how operators have responded to hacking attempts and other dealing with botnets and taking down malicious domain names. So I'm hoping that'll be one of the topics of discussion in the remaining minutes, or at least later in the week. And we're also, as Carlos mentioned, helping with deployment of LRoot nodes in the region and sharing our best practices and our experiences. So I'm conscious of the time. I know there's, 15 minutes left, so I want to make sure there's enough time for questions.
Thanks, Pat. Yep. You were really quick. You still have 4 more minutes.
Oh, well, okay. Well, I will say one of the things that we from the security team and also from the global stakeholder engagement team, is we want to hear from the region of what types of training and activities you're looking for. I know we have quite a bit of work to do to help with the current LAC strategy, but if there's other activities and other ways that we can share knowledge and information, we want to do that. And do that in a way that meets the needs, the requests from the region.
Thank you so much. Now I would like to introduce our last panelist for the morning, Robert Martin Beijing. Did I get that right? More or less?
More or less.
Okay. Robert Martin Lejean has 20 years of experience working with the internet. He started a commercial ISP back in the days when they had pools of dial-in modems, so I remember those times too. He was in the first row when to witness the transitions from one technology to the other. Until now, when you have films being delivered on demand at your home at the click of a button, a change few could imagine 20 years ago. Robert now works for PCH, a non-profit organization which specializes in internet infrastructure. Robert.
Thank you very much. If you want to know, it's Robert Martin Lejean, but I'm not so religious. I don't even care about my accent and the name, actually. So, PCH has... I'll go to slide one. I'll just quickly state what PCH does. PCH focuses on strengthening the infrastructure of internet in countries and in regions, and we do that by our main focus originally was to set up IXPs, and we actually created the first IXP in the world on the U.S. West Coast, I believe it was, and since then we've been involved in one third of the creation of one third of the IXPs in the world. So we have quite a lot of experience in what to do and what not to do, good ideas and bad ideas and policy. We help governments form legislation if that is needed, and we hope it's never needed, but sometimes the market just will not come together by itself. We also do DNS Anycast for TLDs and some registrars also. Registrars that, what are they? No, they are DNS hosters, basically, yeah. So with that, I will continue. The main advantages of having an IXP is that it keeps your internet local, basically. It make sure that your traffic doesn't have to go across, in this case, all the way up to Miami and back, which is usually the case in Latin America. In Europe, it used to be that everything had to go to the US and back. That was 20 years ago. There was a lot of effort on that in Europe because those circuits back then were much more expensive than the expensive circuits that you see here today. So the advantages of the IXP is that it basically keeps your traffic local. It stabilizes the internet infrastructure, because the longer you go, likely it is that you have a cable fault, or somebody trips on a cable, or somebody in another organization, that you could have the traffic traverse like 6 or 7 organizations before you actually get to your neighbor. So somebody in the middle of that would suddenly do maintenance and nobody knows. And if you have the IXP, you usually just have 2 providers, maybe 3, to go through. You have a lot lower latency. It gives a lot gives a lot better quality. You can use it for services that you wouldn't normally put on a high latency link. If you ever try to watch live streaming TV from some TV station far away, you will see that the quality is really bad when you have high latency. So the low latency enables that you do more real time trafficking. You can use it for video surveillance. You can stream. Radio is not really a problem, but video is usually a serious issue. Then it really lowers the price of every byte, which in turn means that the providers will usually the international links will be the ones that are really expensive, that they will upgrade only when it's very, very saturated, whereas the local link that goes to the local exchange point is so cheap that it doesn't require a lot of talking from the network engineering guy to talk to the ISP's CEO to actually get more resources to upgrade those circuits. So you have a lot better quality when it's local traffic. The distance is a risk thing is a little bit also about the when your traffic goes through other jurisdictions physically, you lose control. And I think lately we've seen that there's been a lot of focus on that, especially with the US. But the US is not the only problem where they actually go in and listen to your traffic. There are probably other countries that do the same. They just don't tell you. So, next. Yeah. So, countries that do not have an IXP seem to be suffering a little bit from content leaving their local area. And usually you see it with a newspaper or somebody who wants to provide content at a quite reasonable quality to the local community. But there is no exchange point, so what they do is they go to the closest point that gives reasonable quality to everybody, reasonably bad quality to everybody, but it's the same quality. So they can kind of predict the behavior of the quality that the user gets. If you do not have an exchange point, you would go to the neighboring country or you would go to Miami with this. And the problem is that the hosting for popular sites that should be in country will then leave your own country. It will take money out of your own economy. It will create jobs in another country instead of your own country. And when you have the content leaving your own country, you have no way of controlling what goes on. The legislation thing is. It's not something. People keep using the scare tactics of child pornography and everything. I think basically every country is against that, so that's not really a problem. But there could be other things that were important for a country to focus on, like privacy. You will see that once you have the IXP, even if it might have taken 10 years to create it because of political blunders and ISPs not wanting to cooperate. Once it's there, it's usually very, very difficult for the ISPs that are connected to actually disconnect. They don't want to because even if they try, their users will get really upset. Regulators will get really upset, and you normally do not see the death of an IXP. So there must be a reason for it. Once that it exists, that it keeps existing, it must have a value that's very important. And when you don't have it, you don't see it. I think that's probably some of the problems we're seeing right now in some of the countries in the region is that they're really trying, but some forces inside the country are fighting for the wrong motives. They think that it will give them less business, and experience shows that that's not the truth. Finally, for the e-government, you could consider internet to be a vital part of your national telecommunications infrastructure, and I think almost all countries do that. If that's the truth, and you have organizations within the government or even from citizen to government who wants to talk together, it doesn't make sense that if you build a road from one city to another that you want to pass it through the neighboring country first. You want to be independent, you want to be sovereign. And if you do not have an IXP, you could consider a vital part of your infrastructure to be very, very vulnerable to, let's say, maybe not external aggression. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But there could be factors that are way beyond your control. Next. So, what have we seen lately? We saw with the NSA a scandal that has appeared lately that there's been a lot of international political backlash, and especially in Brazil, that helped spark a privacy law that says that all data from users must stay inside the country, something like that, which immediately caused some content providers to reconsider their plans. Let's put it like that. Google pulled out their public DNS services, and I don't know what else they pulled out, but it's interesting to think that something as simple as asking for the privacy of your citizens causes international companies to reconsider their plans for being in your country and providing content. Other countries are fighting. We have seen Paraguay has a small, not really very functional internet exchange point. They're fighting to make it work. I don't really know what's going to happen with that. It seems to be crawling. We have Bolivia that's now passed a law this year that should make an IXP appear some time ago. And we have other countries that really want to do this. And it's not only the engineers that can see that it's a practical thing to have a 2 millisecond turnaround time on your packets. It's also the government that can see that you need to be able to have an infrastructure in your country that when two of your citizens or organizations inside the country talk to each other, that it's a national thing. You don't need to export your traffic for this. The minute you send your traffic outside your borders, you lose complete control of it. You have no idea to see if anyone is wiretapping it. Anyone can do route injection. Well, they can do that anyway, but it's more difficult to hijack traffic. They can do DNS injection. There might be intelligence agencies that actually do that currently. They intercepted DNS request and they could forge a reply. Because who says they can only read, right? So they could be injecting a fake UDP packet and giving a false reply to certain users that they might actually want to hijack DNS traffic from. And after that, it's very, very trivial to consider to control what the user sees. The IXPs are slowly becoming very efficient. They have been very efficient in Argentina. They have been very efficient in Brazil. What we are seeing now is that countries are starting to connect to each other. I sat this morning at my home to try to connect to, I think it was the L root server from, I live here in Buenos Aires. I did a trace route and I went from Argentina to Peru directly to through the exchange point there and into the NIC that has a copy of the L route. So the traffic is regionalized. The need for going to the US every time you need to get content that's not on your own ISP doesn't happen anymore. The situation is changing. The regionalization that Europe saw 15-10 years ago with a now the very, very big internet exchange point is in Frankfurt and in Amsterdam and London and Paris. It will happen here too. You need some cables, but they're being dug down right as we speak, and it's just a question of maybe even subsidizing those. I shouldn't talk about economy, probably. So you could say that you could consider that getting the IXP up and working is the holy grail and everything is done. That's just not true at all. The internet is very, very young, and the threats we see today is just the tip of the iceberg. There will be new threats as technology becomes more and more advanced. And the IATF, was it 1 or 2 weeks ago, had a statement sparked by the NSA scandal also that said that it's so easy for anyone to intercept traffic on the internet because nothing is encrypted. They haven't actually, well, they probably have not been able to intercept and decrypt a lot of the encrypted traffic on the internet. But it's not needed because most of the traffic on the internet is not encrypted at all. I saw a TED talk the other day. I think it was Yari that was saying that most people say, I have nothing to hide. So I don't care if NSA listens to me or anyone else listens to me because I have no secrets. To which his reply was, well, then I cannot tell you any secrets. So that's kind of true. The outcome of the IATF technical plenary was that everything on the internet should be encrypted, and even if it's your cookbook recipes, whatever, encrypted, there's no need not to. Encryption is easy. Basic encryption is easy. You have we have the DNSSEC that is a little bit advanced, but with DNSSEC you can secure TLS certificates inside DNS. You can get your website website encryption basically for free. That internet drafts to encrypt TLS encrypt SMTP email also by using DNSSEC encrypted certificates. I think the internet exchange points is a good start. I think everybody must have them. And within the next 5-10 years, I think we will see that the landscape has changed. And I hope that DNSSEC will be more prevalent. So, we've all been here for many years, and we all think that there's been so many changes, and we cannot imagine what will be happening in the next 20 years. But I've been here 20. I have no idea, except that the internet is still young. So,
thank you so much, Robert. This was our last presentation for the morning. Esa fue nuestra última presentación de la mañana.
This was our last presentation for the morning. We have about 2 minutes for questions, if you would like to ask any question.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Salanieta Tamanikawamaro. I'm from Fiji. I'm also on the ALEC. But my question is, I'm coming from, I chair the legal subcommittee of the cybersecurity working group back home, very much involved in this area. And I was very, very impressed with the .co's presentations, and I hope it'll be available on Slack. particularly for other countries like ours who are working on ours. And so I'll just put that out there. The next question is basically is to all of you, I suppose. It's not really, I suppose it's a question and a comment. You know how recently there have been news reports questioning the integrity of NIST's approved cryptographic algorithms and that sort of thing. And so I note that there's been a recommendation from the Internet Architecture Board to reopen the comment period on SP 800-900A and that sort of thing, particularly when we're talking about things like encryption. And I was very pleased at the IETF 88. I didn't attend, but I was watching the video when they were talking about, particularly Bruce Schneier, when he was talking about moving it to the fringes and that sort of thing and sort of decentralizing it. And I think from a technical perspective, I'm not a technical person, I'm a legal person, but I have worked for telcos in the past and ISPs and that sort of thing and a cooperation with law enforcement. But I think the discussion has to take place, particularly in relation to strategies and that sort of thing. Not so much regulatory control, but certainly discussions in terms of policies and considerations. So I'd very much be interested in what's your take on that particular process and restoring integrity and faith in standard systems. Thank you.
I'm going to just answer regarding the IETF meeting in Vancouver she mentioned. I was there and it was very interesting how the technical community addressed the problem. One of the presenters did approach which was I would say agreed by most, which is this should be treated like an attack, as we address an attack and see what we can learn from it, what tools should be improved, and from there a whole discussion on focusing on the current security implications of most of the services that we are currently using, because when most of them were deployed, the security was not a real concern at that time. So for most of them, it was optional to use encryption, for example. But nowadays, it's completely different, and it's not just because of that incident. It's in general. The privacy issues, the attacks are affecting many different areas, on not just the infrastructure. So should be addressed on a more holistical way, sort of saying. So this is nowadays a real concern on the technical community, and it's addressed different as it was in the past.
I would like to make a comment on the cryptographic algorithm aspect of your comment. The current feeling or opposition of the community is that the fundamental mathematics behind the cryptographic algorithms is not compromised. The basic math behind the mathematics behind the algorithms is sound. What are being supposedly tainted by some efforts of some organizations are some components used when you implement those algorithms in software, or basically what are called the random number generators. Those can be easily replaced without altering the nature of the algorithms themselves. So cryptography continues to be a tool that we can use to protect privacy, even if we have to revisit some standards that were approved in the past.
Good morning, thank you. Yulia Morenes from Tech Together Against Cybercrime. I'm also with the Secretariat of Eurelo. So practically what we do, it's mainly a comment and not a question. We work on cybersecurity strategies, advising entities, and awareness-raising programs. So I was involved actually in the harmonization of legislation in the Caribbean region and mainly drafting the cybercrime interception of communications legislation for Haiti. So I wanted just to share an initiative which was born due to the consultation meetings in Haiti, which is the Institute on Cybersecurity for French-speaking countries, which will be based in Haiti. mainly that will focus on capacity building programs and reinforcement and awareness raising practically. So we would be happy to bring this to cooperate and to bring to the table. Thank you.
Any more questions, comments?
Hello, my name is Mauricio from Costa Rica, Nick. And, well, basically, we are promoting, actively promoting the use of the NSSEC, not just for the domains that we manage, but for the country itself. So it was interesting to hear that there can be some cooperation to promote, to provide training to the people so that they can know better how to use it and why is it necessary. So I would like to know a little bit about what type of cooperation can be provided in order to integrate different entities on Costa Rica. And we've been making different activities where we include the NSSEC. However, it would be interesting to have a training workshop or something like that, specifically just for the NSSEC. So would that be possible? Thank you.
Yeah, so this is Patrick. I'll take this. You know, we've done DNSSEC training with Colombia, but we've also been talking with Rosalia from NSSEC Costa Rica about planning a DNSSEC training in Costa Rica and open it up and invite participants from, you know, other experts within the region that are interested in receiving the same training. And so we're actively trying to find the right dates and also working with Rodrigo to make sure that this is a event that fits under the Latin American strategy as a under security stability. So look for more information about upcoming trainings in DNSSEC, and it's something that we are definitely doing.
And to add something very short, four of us are working for organizations that are willing to help, and there might be specifics that we can discuss offline, and we are open to all of you because each of us have different ways to support. So let's talk after the meeting.
Sorry, one last quick comment in reference to Packet Clearinghouse. The Pacific, I come from the Pacific, which is very much like the Caribbean. Most of you will know that there are very few internet exchange points in the Pacific. And in fact, the highest cost of internet access is actually from the Pacific, at least four of those countries. Rocket high costs and very poor resiliency and that sort of thing. But I'm very happy to say that Packet Clearinghouse was very much involved for the past past three years at least in terms of strategy, just being open to answering questions. And we rolled out an IXP executive briefing last year where we had somebody from the Caribbean visit Fiji from Packet Clearinghouse when we ran the executive briefing. And after 8 months, all the telcos were there and IXP was set up. Although it's just two peering, technically there should be three. A good case peering. But, you know, it has to start somewhere.
A small comment. Yeah, that's exactly the thing. When you see, I don't know if you've actually seen traffic graphs from that IXP. I don't know which one you're actually talking about. But usually what you see is that the traffic does go very high up, and people will really see that the internet works a lot better in the local community. Especially in regions where you are, traffic suddenly becomes something that you can actually put out a video of something that happens in the neighborhood without considering that it needs to be downloaded from a satellite.
So the, with this last comment, we will conclude the session for the morning. Con esto cerramos la sesión de la mañana y le cedo la.
Now we will adjourn this session, and I will give the floor to Albert, and he will give the final words.
Very informative and interest-generating presentations. As I said at the beginning, this is really a collaboration. You can see from the slide the organizations that are working together in internet security and stability in the region, LACNIC, LACTLD, ISOC, and ICANN. And I'm happy that the audience feels that, you know, there's some way that these organizations can work together to help you in all of your respective situations. The last quick point is that all of the presentations are available on the schedule page for this session. You can download them in PDF form. And finally, I'd like to thank the moderator, Carlos, and I'd like to thank all of you for coming to this session.